You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Richard, and it's great to have you here, especially if you're joining us for the first time. And we're going to be jumping in, all in, to a series that we're in. We're halfway through a six-part series. We're in week three of a series that's called Being All In, and it has kind of a twofold purpose, really. Is firstly, as individuals, that we want to provoke and encourage one another to be all in. Be all into the message and the person of who Jesus is, that he is a compelling figure in history. And as a lot of what this missions week was, which I'm so proud of all the students that were involved, it was just a fantastic, well-organized missions week, and many, many great things will grow from the seeds that were sown in this week. But making the case of who Jesus is and why he stands head and shoulders above every other person that lays claim to truth and lays claim to salvation. And so we as a people want to provoke one another to be increasingly more all in our pursuit of him. And then as a family, as a church, as Every Nation GTA, for many of you who call this your part of the body of Christ, this is your family, we want to say that we are all in to some certain things as a church, obviously Jesus being the foundation of it, but there's six values or six things that we are intentionally and in wanting to see grow in our culture. And so we established that culture is a very powerful thing, and a culture is really formed as you just encourage certain things to grow. And so there's intentionality in a culture. Things will always be growing. It's whether you want what's growing to be there or not. And so we as a church want to say these six things are really near and dear to us, and feel like this is something that the Lord has marked us. And we saw in the first week, we want to be a culture of engaging. So we always want to be mindful that we're making a lifestyle that's engaging to people who may not necessarily believe what we believe. That we don't live in a way that retreats from culture, but we live in a way that engages culture in a wise and winsome way. And that we want to be a people like that, that have many friends and colleagues that probably live very different lives to us, but that they don't feel, they feel a curiosity when they look at our lives. So we're going to be engaging. Last week we looked at a culture of belonging, that we don't want to just be a service on a Sunday. As amazing as this is, we want relationships to be grown here and carried on throughout the week, and for people to feel that they can come into that. And then today, it's all about growing. We want to be a culture of growing. Yes, numerically, but I think that that is a result of growing some other things. And that's growing us, you and I, as disciples of Jesus, that we want to be a disciple-making church, that we don't just want to have people come and do some kind of religious appeasement on a Sunday morning, that we actually genuinely want to follow Jesus with all of our hearts. And so that's where we are today. So we're going to be looking at a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. And so you can get there ready. If you don't have a Bible here or a smartphone, it'll be up on the screen. So don't worry about that. But as a way to just introduce this topic, I thought about, you know, when you were growing up, when I was growing up, do you remember being asked, like, what do you want to be when you grow up one day? And do you remember, it's amazing. It's the kids always have these great, amazing things, astronaut, a scientist, this or that, or whatever. Just amazing kind of aspirations when they're young. I remember my dad was an electrical engineer, and he would work in a firm, and sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, I'd pop into the office with him, and he'd have all architect plans with them, and draftsmen, and all these, and I was so fascinated with them. And then for a long time, that's all I wanted to be. I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to design and build things. And then one day, I didn't want to be an architect. Anymore. I don't know why, but it shifted and it changed. And so what would you like to be when you grow up? One of my favorite pieces of wisdom that I go to regularly is Calvin and Hobbes. And so Calvin said, I originally thought I was going to be a teen idol. And Hobbes, oh. Then I thought, why wait until I'm a teenager? I want to be idolized now. Then you should probably blow your nose more regularly. Do you want an autograph? And so he has strong ambitions, Calvin, of being a teen idol, but clearly he's not a teenager, and so he wants to be allies now. So here's the thing. When we're talking about growth and personal growth and growing as a person, I think it's a thing that is attractive to everyone. Most people want to aspire to grow and be the best they can be. If you go into Chapters or Indigo or one of these bookstores, there's an increasingly growing section called self-help, right? Be your best person now. 5 steps to your best you. Whatever. Those might be legitimate titles, so I'm not dissing them. And you know, you might know the author personally, and so I want to be an engaging person, not disengaging to those people. But there's lots of different things out there to help us become all we want to be. And sometimes there's been this thing and that we think that it's encouraging and it's important for us to tell our children and tell people, you can be and do whatever you want to be. Have you ever heard that? Was it just me? Okay, yeah. You can be and do whatever you want to be. Is that true or is that false? It's false, right? And I know some of you are like daggers. What do you mean? It's false in the sense that we just know, as you grow up, you just know that you can't be or do whatever you want to be. I would like to be the fastest person on the planet. I'd like to play in the NBA. And it doesn't matter how many people told me, well, Richard, you can be and do whatever you want to be. It's just not going to happen. I just do not have the genetic makeup to do that. So that's the one extreme we want to avoid. It's not a biblical thing. But here's the other extreme. It's more fatalism, that this is all I'll ever be. And we want to avoid that. That if you're sitting here today, there is always growth available for you. You can always grow from where you currently are every day. And if you did that every day, you'd be a long ways from where you were. And maybe you're not eventually going to be in the NBA, but you can be all that God has created you to be. All that God has intended you to be. And so somewhere between those two extremes, which are wrong, and certainly we want to avoid that, we want to make sure that we do grow and be the people that God has called us and fashioned us and created us to be. And so you're in 1 Peter 1:22, and we're going to read a few verses and slip over into chapter 2. And we're going to see what does growth or spiritual growth specifically look like for you and I. So let's find it. All right, here we go. So 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 22 to verse 3 of chapter 2. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. In other words, everything is going to die, but except the truth of this is going to be eternal and long-lasting. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so we're going to look at three words. We're going to look at three things that I think are essential to growth. And then I'm going to end off lastly, just very briefly, looking at what does growing look like here at Every Nation GTA. And the three words are from this passage. One is becoming. The second is longing. And the third is growing. We're going to look at becoming, longing, and growing. The first one, becoming. Christianity is unique in the sense that when you and I surrender our lives to Christ and follow him, when we become a Christian, many different ways to describe that experience. We've read it here. It's called born again. It's literally like you're reborn spiritually. And that Christianity says that we become something in that moment, something very significant, something very deep and fundamental shifts and changes within us. And so the first part of growth, of spiritual growth as a Christian, is simply becoming who you already are. Okay, now if you think about that long and hard, it's one of those kind of Matrix Inception kind of moments. Like it's real deep, got many layers to it. Okay, becoming who you already are. That when you and I, there's a moment in time and a historical event that happens when we go from being not a Christian to a Christian. Sometimes it's very clear when a person does that, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a bit more gradual. But there comes a moment, certainly in the eyes of God, where you go from being dead in your sin to alive in Christ. And in that moment, you become an entirely different person. It says that you're a new creation. And so Christianity is becoming who you already are. You know, I think the verse in chapter 2, verse 1, when it says, so put away, a lot of people think that that's what Christianity is about. Put away, don't do this. Now you have to do this. Now you have to do that. You can't speak with those friends. You can't listen to that music. And I think there's much in the culture that looks at Christianity and says, I don't want that kind of legislated on my life. I want to be what I want to be and do what I want to do. And it's a part of Christianity. I'm not dissing the certain things that we do want to live out and want to obey. But the whole thing is that the so part, when you see so or therefore in scripture, it means because of what I've just said, this is now important. And so what has he just told us? He's just told us, you've been born again. There's a seed, an imperishable seed has been planted in you. You're different, and now, because you're fundamentally different, you're going to start to look different, act different, think different, feel different, say different. So put away, you know, because that's not who you are anymore. But what religion tries to do is it tries to do the opposite. It says, don't do these things, and if you don't do these things, then God will be happy with you. And that's not what Jesus came. He came to do something fundamentally different. He said, you need to become, we need to become followers of him. We need to be because he has done. So we need to be because he has done something, not because we're going to do something. Fundamentally, he has done something for us. And that you and I, we live out from a changed identity, not striving towards a changed identity. And it's subtle. It is subtle because there are things in our lives that we do need to do. And I'm not diminishing that, but I'm saying the heart change and the motivation for all the things that you're required to do in scripture comes from a changed heart. And if it does, if a heart is not fully changed, it's going to be exhausting to try and live up to these expectations. And we're going to think that God's either cruel or just we always fall short of him. We disappoint him. And that's not going to be the message that God wants for us. And so in 1 Peter 1:23 and 25, it says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. And this word is the good news, the gospel that was preached to you. So think about a seed. I remember, again, growing up, we had these experiments where you get this tiny little bean and then you would wet some cotton wool and wrap it up in cotton wool and you place it in sun. And then every day or a couple of days, whatever, you'd make sure it was just damp. And after a while, it would start sprouting. Start growing, right? Is that me? Or is that, you guys do that? Okay, there we go. And it was kind of like this. And so in scripture, a lot of our growth, a metaphor that's used a lot about growth in scripture is like plants and growing and seeds being planted. And actually, he's just told us the gospel is like this. You've been born again by an imperishable seed. Something gets planted in us. And I thought, well, this is a good illustration because that seed, it's hidden, it's dark, it's underground, just like the gospel. When it penetrates your heart, it happens internally. Not a lot for most of us, not a lot happens or changes radically instantly on the outside, but something significant happens. And as that seed gets proper sustenance and nurturing, and it's in the right environment to cause growth and it gets enough water, sunlight, whatever it needs, what is it going to do naturally? Naturally, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow down foundationally with roots. And then all of a sudden, it's going to break through. And we see, whoa, this thing is alive. Wow, this thing is producing fruit. That's your life. For some of us, from seed to starting to sprout fruit happens in weeks. For others, it happens in months. For others, maybe a few years. But growth should be happening. So don't compare the speed of your growth to another person's journey. But what we should be comparing is, am I growing? Am I growing? Am I different at the end of this year than I was at the beginning of the year? And so those are hard and challenging questions for us to ask. And this really is a metaphor for Christianity, that the gospel is planted within a person, that we get it. And what happens over time as it's properly sustained and nurtured is it grows and it changes and we bleed out and we become, and say it was an apple tree, at some stage we begin to look like an apple tree because we begin to sprout off some apples. And so that is the metaphor and the picture of Christianity, that we are fundamentally different. We are simply becoming who we already are. In that seed or in that bean or in that apple seed is the DNA for an apple tree and to reproduce other apple trees. It just hasn't come to maturity yet. When you become a Christian, when you get born again, when the gospel is put in you, this, the DNA of everything that you are to become, this side of heaven is in you. It's just a matter of now becoming who you already are. Does that make sense? Is it dropping? You go into the second level, the Inception dream with me here. If you didn't watch the movie Inception, I know that illustration totally just bombs on you. I'd encourage you to watch that movie. It's a fantastic movie. And so what we're going to do is the rest of our lifetime, we don't attain perfection here, but we can get closer to it as we grow and simply increasingly become who God has already called us and destined us to be. And so part of the word and part of going to this, what does this do? This reminds you of who you are. That's why it's an important thing. It's like the sunlight, or it's like the water, or it's like the food that you need to eat. It's reminding you of who you are. It's reminding you of what he's done. And it's reminding you of, because of what he's done, this is how you and I can now live. This is what we can access because of what he's done. That we don't have to feel guilt or shame anymore because he's taken that for me. That we're forgiven so we can forgive. And it goes on and on and on. The second thing is longing. His longing. So what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth really in one sentence is becoming who you already are. How do you grow spiritually? This is not exhaustive because there's many different practical things. But one thing from this passage I want to stress out is longing. And he uses another analogy. He uses a metaphor of a newborn infant. All right. As a newborn infant, what was the verse in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3? It says, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk. And then verse 3, it jumps, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, we've had some births this last year in our midst. So this metaphor will ring home very clear for the mums and the dads and the people that are very close to newborn infants. But I'm sure we've been around a newborn infant. How do they long for spiritual milk? I mean, like if they're hungry... Sorry, not spiritual milk, natural milk. Sorry. They have no clue what spiritual milk is. Like, how desperate are they for milk? They're very desperate, all right? Have you ever been? Like, if they're thirsty, they're hungry, they need that milk. And they're going to let everyone know until they get that milk. And they will not be satisfied until they get the substance for which their body is longing for. And when these metaphors, when these pictures in scripture are put before us, they're to help us because we can identify it and we need to press it. And this is a picture of spirituality. How do you grow? Well, as you get desperate, you long, you crave for, you recognize lack. I need to be fed. And you go after that like a newborn would go after its milk or her milk, his or her milk. And so in physical life, we know this. Eating and drinking are a key ingredients to us growing and being healthy. But it's also what you eat and what you drink, right? So newborn baby screaming out, it's like, oh, let's grab a Coke. Boom. Not a good thing. Probably not going to satisfy. Probably going to have a more grumpy baby on the hand, all right? So it's not just about longing. It's longing for the right thing. It's longing for the thing that will ultimately satisfy you. Now, what he's saying is we're to have that kind of longing. Now, some of you are saying, I remember having that longing. And it's going dim. You know, life caught up with me. And that life catches up with everyone. But here's what I would say to you. If longing is long gone in your life, long for longing. Desire to desire. If that's all you've got, go with that. And God will give it to you. Because I know some of you sitting here, Christianity's become dry. A relationship with Jesus is really not exciting. And it might sound blasphemous to say it, but let's just be honest. Because it happens. For various reasons. And I don't know your reasons to another person's reasons. But I would say, if this is awakening something in you, and you say, well, I would sure like that, but I don't have any desire with you. You start to desire to desire. What that looks like is, God, I don't long for you. Help me to long for you. And you say that, and you pray that, and you beat your chest until you get that. But when he gives that, then you need to go after. You need to go after the substance. Don't just stay in longing. You need to feed. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, you need to access the milk. What's the milk? He tells us what the milk is. The milk is the word of God. But more specifically, It's the gospel. It's the good news that was preached to you. See, this Bible, a lot of people think like, oh, this Bible is so difficult, 66 books. There's a lot of, some of you in a Bible reading, you might be in like Genesis or Exodus right now. It's getting a little bit challenging. I mean, Leviticus is coming up. That's not a great episode as well. You want to skip over that season, get to some of the good stuff. But sometimes when we approach the Bible, you got to remember the big picture of the Bible. And the big picture of the Bible is the story of God. It's the gospel. Four chapters, creation. God created everything good. What went wrong? Sin went wrong. We rebelled. Fallenness came in. He could have stopped it right there, but he didn't. He kept the movie going. He sent his son Jesus. We call that chapter 3 redemption. He comes to make things right. And then chapter 4 is the ultimate hope that God is all about restoring ultimately to where it should have been and even better. And that's where we find ourselves in right now. And so as we approach it, that's the gospel. That's the good news. This word that goes in us, this imperishable seed, that's what we're about. That is what makes us come alive. And so he tells us to long for and then feast upon that milk, the word of God, that story, that gospel. Remember what he's done. Remember who Jesus is. It's not just the gospels. It's connecting with that in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and understanding. So as you're reading your Bible, you're understanding the gospel. A gospel doesn't just happen in the New Testament. It's the most ancient and amazing story ever been told, the compelling story of redemption. And so we need to go after that. And what Jesus does is he comes to this earth and he connects us back to the Father relationally. It was what we talked about last week, how we're wired for relationship. And so if you missed that, you may want to jump in on that one. That God connects us back to God relationally and with one another. And then he puts his spirit within us. Because we worship and believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he puts his spirit within us so that we become more like him. Now, if you got the spirit of Jim Carrey, you know Jim Carrey, the Canadian actor, Jim Carrey? Remember some of his stuff? Yeah. If you got the spirit of Jim Carrey, what would begin to happen in your life? You'd become like Jim Carrey. You'd tell jokes like Jim Carrey. You'd laugh like Jim Carrey. You'd maybe cry like Jim Carrey. If you get the spirit of Jim Carrey in you, you're going to become more like Jim Carrey, right? And where there's gaps where you're not quite, there's still some work in progress. Well, it's the same thing. God puts his spirit within us. He says, my spirit has been put in you to help you become more like my son. And so increasingly, we should begin to start seeing some things like, yeah, I'm becoming more like Jesus. But then, man, there's some gaps where I'm not like him. And we've all got those. And you will always have those this side of heaven. But you should be closing some of those gaps. I should be closing some of those gaps. Because his spirit is within me. And if I partner with his spirit, it's not that it's not effortless, but there's a grace that goes to work in us. When we resist that, it's one of the most miserable lives you can live as a Christian, is to kind of not be all in, kind of half in. Because you can't really enjoy your sin. And let's face it, it would be nice to be able to enjoy your sin. You know, you've tasted too much of God to know that this is not good for you. But you're enjoying your sin so much, you're not able to fully enjoy and taste God. Now, I lived that throughout my high school years. It's not a great place to be in. It's like, just be all in one of those. Okay, I would say that. Be all in one of those. You mean, all into your sin and see how that goes for you, all into God. But to live a kind of a straddling life, well, I want the best of both worlds, is going to make you more miserable. And then he connects it with taste. Then he says, taste that the Lord is good. So you can't long for something you've never tasted. We can't get frustrated with people who don't know Jesus. They have a disregard for this. They have no longing for this. Well, why on earth would they have a longing for this if they're not tasted the goodness of God? What's the goodness of God? It's ultimately, it's the gospel and Jesus. That's the goodness of God. That God's goodness is on display there. That when we were at our worst, he sent his best. He sent Jesus for you and I. And until you and I have tasted the goodness of God, it's going to be hard for you and I to long and feast and be nourished on his goodness. And so that's what he says. And so it's simply this. It's, the gospel both gives us new life, but it also sustains life in us. And so I would encourage you to taste on the gospel and long for it and then feast on it, the substance of it. Taste, longing, and substance. And then lastly, it tells us as we do that, the result is we're going to grow up into salvation. In verse 2 of chapter 2, that by it you may grow up into salvation. In other words, become who you already are. And if you are an apple seed, you're starting to think like an apple tree. You're starting to look like an apple tree. You're starting to produce apples because that's what an apple seed should do. And if you've been born again by the imperishable seed of the gospel, of the goodness of God, of what it means to be a Christian, then you're going to start to think more like him, feel more like him, make choices more like he would make, how to spend your money like he would want you to spend your money, choosing relationships how he would want you to choose. Every area of your life begins to be affected and infected in a good way because of that seed, and we grow up into the fullness of who he's made us to be. And so becoming who you already are, the objective truths of Scripture, you're forgiven in Christ. You're declared righteous in Christ. You're justified. In other words, it's like God can now look at you as if you've never sinned because of Jesus. Those are objective truths. When they begin to filter through into your subjective experience, then you know you're growing. And I know there's a disconnect. Well, I don't feel very righteous. So what are you going to believe more, your experience or what the truth says? And that's really where a lot of maturing and growth comes down to, is the battle for what are you going to believe. Does God's truth trump even your experience? And I would submit to you that the way to grow is to believe more about what he says about you and trust him that as you believe that, your life is going to start to look like that. Maybe not overnight, but I would encourage you more to start believing, well, I don't feel very righteous, but the word declares me that I'm righteous before God. And if you begin to do that, you're going to start to want to make righteous choices, righteous decisions, righteous feelings. So what is, as we wrap up now, what is growing, a culture of growing look like for us at Every Nation GTA? And it's actually quite simple. We don't have to spend too much time on this one, but it's very simple. We talk a lot about follow the call. Because I think it's a nice, neat, short phrase that, again, is got a lot to unpack to it. There's a lot of different which ways. But follow the call is a call to follow. Follow the call is a call to follow, ultimately. And it's a call to follow Jesus. And it's a call to follow what he has called us to do and to be. And so Jesus invites you and I not into morality and not into religion, but into relationship. Jesus is often saying to people around him, come, follow me, and I'll be with you always. Come, follow me, and I'll be with you always. And he's saying that the same thing to us today. Come with me, follow me, deny yourself, and I'll be with you always. It's an invitation into relationship, not into a philosophy, not into a set of principles, although those things are great, but he's calling us to himself. And so follow the call is really a call to follow Jesus in three different directions. And we call this up, in, and out. I don't know if you can put this triangle up. I thought this will it'll help you. So follow the call. So in the middle is you and I. We want to follow the call. We're in the middle of the triangle. And if you didn't know, that photo is Toronto. So here we are in Toronto. And we want to follow. We're all about follow the call. That's our mission. We want to help people follow the call. We want to help people follow Jesus. And as they do that, so we want to help them follow upwards firstly. Okay, because God's restored us relationally to himself through Jesus. So we want people to start there. That's the most important thing. Follow call is, yes, we get to live out our purpose, but the biggest purpose right now is to be introduced to Jesus and connect with him. Until you get that, it doesn't really matter. That's the big one. And so we want to follow Jesus. And that's really, you can sum that up in worship, because worship is about saying Jesus is ultimate in my life. That he is ultimate in life, that I'm increasingly centering my life radically around him, that his worth is increasing in my life. Worship, it's worth him. So there are a lot of things that are worth something to us. A lot of your careers are worth something to you. Okay, that's not a bad thing. Your possessions are worth something to you. That's not a bad thing. Your degree that you're studying is worth something to you. That's not a bad thing. Money is worth something to you. That's not a bad thing. Where you would like to stay in this city, your postal code, that's not a bad thing. But if any of those become an ultimate thing, then that's a bad thing. Because then that is what we worship. And whatever you worship will demand stuff of you. It'll demand sacrifice from you. And you know it as well as I do. People are happy to sacrifice family, relationships, life, integrity, character in the pursuit of you name it, money, fame, whatever. And so we want to say is Jesus trumps that. So we want to worship him. Then we want to follow the call inward. That you can't do it on your own. That's what we talked about last week. It's the community of God. That we want to follow him together in community. And then we want to follow him together in community on his mission. On his mission. And his mission is to engage the lost. To see them belong to his body. To see them grow up. To see all these things that we'll be talking about. And we want to help him do that. And as we do that, we're going to grow and we're going to help others grow. And so that's what we're about. That is how we want to help people grow here at Every Nation GTA. And so I don't know where you are in that particular journey, but all of us can be growing in certain ways, up and out. How's your walk with the Lord? How are you doing with your relationships with one another? And then what are you doing in terms of engaging the people around you who I'll never be able to reach, but you'll be able to reach? And so that's what we're about as Every Nation GTA in establishing a culture of growth. So I want to pray. We're going to end off with a song now. But I want to pray and I want to help some of you take a step. I want all of us to take a step, actually, in our growth with the Lord, because we want to be a growing people, right? We want to be developing. We want to be producing fruit. For some of you, it might be just one or two here. Your next step is to surrender your life to him. And so I want to pray a prayer. And if you're in that place right now where you have never had a relationship with Jesus, it's compelling to you, the person of who Jesus is and what he's done for you is making sense, then we want to help you take that step over the threshold and then begin the journey with you. For many of us, we've already started that, but what's your next step? Where do you need to grow? Do you need to get around some people who are going to challenge you? Are you struggling in the outward part and maybe get around some people who are doing that well? Let's talk about that and ultimately be listening to what the Spirit of God is speaking to you and convicting you about. And so let's pray. God, I'm asking that with really a lot of words and information that have gone out this morning, that something of your Spirit is at work in each heart here today, and we want to connect with your work in people's lives, Lord. So help us not interfere with that, but to complement what you're doing. And Lord, if there be people here today who for the first time want to place the trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, want to recognize that you've saved them, maybe not fully understand what all that means, but know enough to say that I need help, I need Jesus, I need a Savior. I ask you, just pray, say, God, I cry to you. I thank you that you came to save me, that you lived the life I couldn't live, and you died the death that I should have died, that you did all that for me, that I could stand before you, God, in right relationship again. And so I ask you, would you come in to my heart? Would you plant that seed that's imperishable? Would you cause me to grow to be more like you, Jesus? Would you help me be connected into this family, into this community, to continue growth? And if you've prayed that prayer maybe the first time, I'd encourage you to tell someone, perhaps the person that brought you, if you want to come speak to one of us, the leaders, we'd love to help you now get going on that journey. And then for the many of you that have already made that decision at some stage, how is your longing? How's your desire? How would you gauge it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being at its peak? Could you go from a 5 to 6 today? Could some of you go from a 2 to 8 today? So Father, I pray for many of us where our longing is mediocre at best. God, we long for longing. We desire for desire back in our lives again. God, we hunger to be hungry. God, we thirst to be thirsty again, Lord. God, that would you drive our complacency? Would you drive out apathy in our lives, God? Lord, would you drive out just wanting to be nice and liked by people, God, that would cause us to not grow in the way that you would have us grow, Lord? Would you drive out those things that would hinder our growth this year, that we would be increasingly all in to follow you, God? And it's different for every one of us, but would you help us in this moment, God, that we would be individually and collectively everything that you have said that we could be, that we would grow up in salvation into everything that you purchased for us on the cross, that we wouldn't sell you short, we wouldn't make a mockery of your grace and your goodness. God, help us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.